Episode 1202, The Criterion Challenge, Throne of Blood.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono. We are back.
We're back. It's Criterion Challenge time. Ben, tell everybody what is the Criterion Challenge. We usually do it over on the extra feed, which you can find at patreon.com/thescifichristian. But Ben, what is it here for tonight?
Well, so I gave you a list of
100 plus
must-see movies from the Criterion collection. I can't say that I didn't miss anything. I've gone through it a couple times, and every time I do, I find a few that I've been like, oh, I should have included mm-hmm. that. So it's not foolproof, but you know, for somebody who doesn't want to watch through or isn't going to watch through all 1,200 movies at this point, this is what I consider some of the best, some of the essentials, some ones to round out your film education, a little bit of everything in there. And I think overall, you haven't liked all of them, but overall, I think it's been a good experience.
Yeah, I mean, for this particular week or this particular episode, we're going to talk about multiple movies that I like. So how we do with the Criterion Challenge, we gave one specific film the title feature. Like, this is the main one we'll discuss. But there's a few others I've watched over the last few weeks. So we'll just kind of mention them here because not every movie in the Criterion Challenge gets its own episode. Although, certainly, I think three of the movies here today could have had their own episode.
Let's talk about the one you didn't like first. Get that out of the way.
All right. You're talking about Summertime?
Summertime. So this is pre-Lawrence of Arabia, David Lynch.
Right. And no, David Lean. Well, if there was a David Lynch version of Lawrence,
that would be pretty great.
Listeners, I don't know if you know this, but I love David Lean's Lawrence of Arabia. One of my favorite films. Because of my love of that movie, I've watched multiple others of David Lean's films.
So you've seen Bridge on the River Kwai,
Great Expectations,
Oliver Twist.
I have Oliver Twist on my two watch list.
You'll probably like that. You watched Brief Encounter.
Yes.
And I think that's all the one. Passage to India.
Yes, Passage to India.
Okay.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Summertime, cinematography, still beautiful. It still matches what I expect. Like, what I was expecting looks-wise, it's here. I just didn't necessarily care about the characters of the story here.
Yeah, I like Summertime a lot. I think that you're right. It's, of course, beautifully shot. And I think it's Katharine Hepburn in it. It captures that kind of, you know, this was the pre-Lawrence David Lynch. Actually, let me back up. The thought is that Lawrence of Arabia is such a pivot point in David Lynch.
Yeah.
David Lean's career. And both sides of his career are great, but I do think that his ideal state as a director was making these smaller set, more intimate movies. And then he goes and makes, you know, one of the greatest epics of all time. So it doesn't mean he's bad at that, but I think like Brief Encounter is a very small scale, intimate movie. Mm-hmm. It has kind of a similar feel to this of the, you know, the intense love affair. This one has more of a fleeting nature to it than it's a good companion piece to Brief Encounter. I think even the way he does his Dickens adaptations, they feel smaller. They feel more intimate. I think you watched Blythe Spirit too.
I did. I love that one too.
Yeah, it's a very, you know, it's a smaller scale comedy. And some of those were adaptations of plays. He worked very closely with Noel Coward early on in his career. The interesting thing that happens, I don't think you've seen Dr. Zhivago.
I have. I've watched that.
What did you think of Dr. Zhivago?
So this one, unfortunately, it didn't work for me as well. Wait a second here. I gave it 3.5, and
I
think that seems like a...
Three and a half.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Go ahead.
Dr. Zhivago is a fascinating film in Lean's filmography because you can tell that he wants to film the story as something like Summertime.
Mm-hmm.
But he's now the epic guy.
Yes, epic. Yes.
He's the epic guy at this point.
It's like he didn't this didn't need to be that, or maybe he didn't want it to be that, but it has to be.
Right. In his ideal world, you can see a smaller version of Dr. Zhivago that's a lot better.
I seem to remember that one being quite long.
Very, very long. Why? Because you're at a David Lean movie. If it doesn't have an intermission, you want your money back, right? Like, that's the expectation.
Actually, because of this, I didn't know everything you're telling me right now, this, like, before and after Lawrence. So when I started this one, I didn't look at the time code. I had no idea how long it was. I had time to watch a movie. I sat down and, you know, these days I'll often split a certain viewing into multiple sessions.
Yeah.
I watched this one, as far as I remember, straight through. It came to this point in the movie, and I think we're doing a pretty good job at not spoiling anything here. It came to a point in the movie where, well, I didn't know this at the time, but it's that climactic interaction between the two main characters is happening. And I don't know at this point, I don't know how much time is left. And I'm realizing, based on other films I've seen and David Lean, this movie is about to spin off into a totally different direction, and I have another hour or more ahead of me.
The intermission card's going to come up.
Or this movie's about to end, and I had no idea what was true.
Yeah.
Well,
the title would have told you. It's summertime. This is a short vacation thing. It's meant to be short and fleeting. I also love, you know, like, not that Katharine Hepburn wasn't attractive in her own ways, but everybody's got to be young and sexy in romances these days. And here we just have a couple of older people having a romance. Like, this type of movie.
Actually, didn't think the romance or the romantic nature of the story was that romantic. This is what I'm trying to say. I didn't think the romance was very romantic.
Yeah, it wasn't like a Meg Ryan rom-com.
Exactly. Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. Now, there's love. You've got mail.
Okay.
No, anyway, I don't want to spoil it, but I have a specific reason for. Anyways, I don't want to. I think we're doing a good job at not spoiling. So,
well, me especially, because it's been a number of years since I've watched this, I can't remember the specifics. What do you want to talk about next? The other three, I think you gave them all 5 stars. I love all these movies.
F for Fake.
Yeah.
Man, listeners, this is such a crazy movie. Let's continue to not spoil.
Yeah.
And we'll wait till we get the throne to do more of the talk. Okay, so it's a documentary, but I've never seen anything like this. It was, to me, a surrealist documentary.
Yeah.
The movie felt surreal, but he's also telling the story of something that really happened. And then there's times where he's honest about the fact that he's lying.
Yes.
And there's times where he's, I don't even know how to put it.
The whole thing's constructed like a magic trick.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, it's Orson Welles being Orson Welles. I'm not sure very many people, maybe no one else, could have made this movie and pulled it off. It's his personality.
Yeah,
it's late career Orson Welles.
Yeah, 1973.
And it's just fantastic.
Yes. I think I liked, the documentary story that we're learning is interesting, but just the style is what really drew me in. And again, this is another one I was able to sit straight through and watch.
That's great. Yeah, one of the biggest myths.
Like, I kind of wanted to be, because once I realized what I was experiencing, I realized this is one you need to sit through. Like,
yeah.
I just.
Yeah, like a magic trick. You want to sit there and just have it delivered to you.
Like, some narratives, if I step away, I can come back. This one felt like I need to see what this experience is like as a whole.
Yes.
5 stars for that one.
I completely agree. And one of the greatest myths in movie history is that Orson Welles, I almost said David Lynch again.
No, stop.
Orson Welles was a one-hit wonder with Citizen Kane. Like, completely not true.
No.
He made so many great movies. Magnificent Ambersons, Touch of Evil. I don't think you've seen
Touch of Evil.
Yet, no. Oh, it's so good. Chimes at Midnight, F for Fake. Like, he was a great director through a long career. And this is a good one.
All right. Let's do M. Because M is like the other one that I feel... You know, you might be surprised about this. Even though we're calling this episode Throne of Blood, I think I like M a little bit more. I like both.
That's fair. They're both great movies.
So M is a 1931 film from...
Fritz Lang, Germany.
Germany, right.
And starring Peter Lorre. It's fantastic. Like, the sense of paranoia that's in this movie. There's kind of a... It's been a little while since I've watched it, so you're going to have to help me with the details. But, like, the cinematography is great. Fritz Lang, of course, Metropolis.
Yes, I was impressed. I mentioned it's 1931, but just the editing, the pacing, it just felt... I guess I was impressed. I think I would have given it 5 probably either way, just based on what we were given. But you bump it up even more just out of respect of what is happening in this very early film. I mean, at this point, the medium is like 10 or 20 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, and the story itself was good too, although, you know, I don't necessarily like a Children Are in Danger story.
Right.
But there were, I don't know what I want to give away in here. There are elements of the story where you have different people trying to solve this mystery and track down a killer.
You're pro tracking down killers.
So pro. So pro that. So, yeah, I think where the story ended up going and some of the forces that ended up joining together, I liked it. I just liked the whole story, start to finish.
It's a great movie.
All right. So that of the movies we're talking about tonight, M is actually my favorite, but I also loved Throne of Blood, another 5-star movie. I mean, I watched 3 movies in the last week, 5 stars.
I couldn't believe it when I started going through your letterbox. I was like, oh, I did so well.
You did so well. But this one probably will provide the best conversation. So let's enter now into a place where we're going to talk about this movie with potential spoilers because we named the whole episode after it. So
Akira Kurosawa, another samurai movie from him. Now, you know what this different. Is based on.
No, I don't know.
So this is my, your review is one of my favorite reviews for a very specific reason.
Okay.
Because you know I love your reviews.
Thank you. Well, I didn't know you love my reviews.
I do.
You never like any of them. You didn't like this one.
Oh, no, I don't like them, but I do love them. Your review is so funny because this movie is based off of Macbeth.
Oh, I had no idea.
Exactly. It's so obvious reading your review that you are hitting on all the themes of Macbeth. And it's funny to me because you read Macbeth.
I listened.
But we all know you did. That was like the worst listening you've ever done. You got nothing out of Macbeth.
I listened to the audiobook. It was... Yes, you're right.
It's not just that it was a long time ago. I think I could have asked you about Macbeth the second you finished that audiobook, and you wouldn't have been able to tell me a thing about it.
I did learn a valuable lesson, though, that Shakespeare by audiobook is not the way to go.
Right.
Must be read or seen.
They're like all the questions you're asking in here. How does knowing the future affect, you know, how we live things out? Who was more evil, the wife or the guy, like Lady Macbeth?
I still have no idea what you're referencing. I've heard of Lady Macbeth.
Yeah, so like she's the wife character.
Okay.
That's Lady Macbeth.
Whoa. I should read that story. Yes, okay. So I did.
Your review was so on the nose. I couldn't tell if it was a joke.
It was not a joke.
Like putting yourself out there as I'm completely oblivious to the fact that this is Macbeth as a joke.
Okay.
So I'm not trying to make fun of you.
Well,
but I am
it does sound
bit.
A little rude, but I will say I was not joking. Totally true. I had no idea it was connected to Macbeth. Here's what I'll say. I haven't watched an abundance of samurai films, but we've seen a number.
Yeah, you've seen Yojimbo, Sanjuro, of course, Seven Samurai, Rashomon.
Actually, I don't know if I've seen Sanjuro. That's a second. That's a sequel, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've seen some, let's say. I have.
A
I don't
couple of samurai
I don't
films.
Remember supernatural elements sneaking into that genre. You can tell me if I'm wrong here. Is that something that happens often?
I don't know about often.
Man, but that at the beginning of this movie, you get two of the main characters, and they're in this mysterious forest. And then you're laughing because of Macbeth, I'm guessing, right?
The big thing in Macbeth is the witches.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Are they they're not the toil.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's only one, though,
weird
here.
Weird sisters. Yeah.
This one only had one witch.
Right.
And
I think it was a man.
No, it was. I don't think so. It was supposed to be a... woman, I think. Maybe played by a man.
Oh, could be.
Yeah, so let's just forget about the Macbeth stuff. Okay, I didn't know.
You clearly already did.
Yes.
Forget about the Macbeth.
So let me just talk about this movie and forget about that. It's based on Macbeth because you know, I'm not realizing that. I'm just seeing this witch show up and give them a prophecy. I'm like, oh, you can see where this is going. Okay, you can't get over this.
Everybody else watching this movie, it's like, oh, how's Kurosawa going to adapt Macbeth into feudal Japan?
How do people know going into it that's based on Macbeth?
Well, if you didn't know, it'd be either word of mouth, or if you didn't know, you'd probably pick up pretty quickly.
Well, I beg to differ.
Right down to the whole thing of like her washing her hands with the blood stain.
That meant nothing to
like
me.
Like the famous line in Macbeth is out damn spot, meaning Lady Macbeth is washing her hands and she can't get the
I've
blood off of
I've never heard
them.
That line. Yeah. Although I did listen to the audiobook.
You have heard that line.
I've technically heard it.
Technically.
I feel like we can't discuss the movie
we
without you thinking about Macbeth.
Well, that's true. That is true.
Well, you tell me what you liked about this. You just rewatched it.
I mean, it's great. It's like, I think that, so Kurosawa adapted actually three Shakespeare plays in a similar fashion. He adapted Hamlet into The Bad Sleep Well, which is more of a modern drama. And then he adapted King Lear into Ron. That is one of his best films.
Okay.
And so is this, but Ron is the most successful of the three. But this is just fantastic. Like, there are ways, you know, the way that he transposes the Western elements into the Japanese culture is just fantastic. But all through the whole thing, Macbeth is preserved very, very thoroughly. Like the scenes where he's at the banquet and he sees the ghost right out of Macbeth. The woods coming to...
Doesn't Hamlet also have a ghost?
It does.
I remember that. I read Hamlet.
Hack Shakespeare recycling. Wow. Okay. So I'm proud of you for that. The whole thing with the woods, the prophecy of you will not fall into the woods.
Yes, that's in Macbeth.
That's straight from Macbeth.
Oh, wow.
Actually, deep Macbeth cut here. That helped create the Ents in Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
Because a young Tolkien went to see Macbeth and he wanted to see talking trees.
Yeah.
But then he felt cheated when it wound up being just soldiers carrying branches.
Okay.
So yeah, that whole thing's from Macbeth.
Okay, so I asked the question. As soon as the prophecy is... Well, let me read my one... I think I have one or two lines here. As soon as the prophecy is revealed, you could see where the story was going to go. But in the end, I'm not sure who was the worst villain. And then I say that, you know, the main character or his wife. Which, in Macbeth, it sounds like that is also the question you're left with.
Yeah, I think that...
And what is the answer?
The way Shakespeare emphasizes it, Lady Macbeth, and this comes through in the movie too, is ultimately overcome by conscience. Like, her conscience kind of snaps her brain.
Okay.
You know, and so she's going crazy at the end. The hand washing. She can't get the blood off of her hands at the end. So I think Macbeth is the more evil character of the two.
Okay. I think maybe if it's ever here locally, we should go see it live.
That would be a winner.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Macbeth, not Throne of Blood.
Right.
Seeing that.
So I a couple of Kurosawa, because I know you like Kurosawa.
Yeah.
I don't think you liked Rashomon.
I love that one.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay, never mind. For some reason,
we had a great conversation about it here on the show.
I'm proud of you then. So a couple of Kurosawa recommendations I would give. I do think
Sanjuro, I think I should see.
Yeah, but Ron, I think you would like. And then he has a movie, a police procedural called High and Low, that was just remade by Spike Lee on Apple TV, starring Denzel Washington as Higher to Lower. And it's supposed to be good.
Okay.
So I would like to revisit High and Low and then watch the
sequel. Watch both of those back to back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that would be fun.
Okay, that'd be fun.
But yeah, High and Low is just fantastic, as is Ron.
I'm just checking to see what I like to do when you recommend the movie to me is see where could I possibly watch that. So Ron is on, okay, great, Tubi, which is a free service. And
I've never used Tubi. Is it full of commercials?
It will have commercials, yeah.
See, I can't do that.
Okay. But High and Low is on HBO Max, so we're good to go there. So yes, I have access to both of those films. Okay, yeah, that'll be fun.
Those should be your next two Kurosawa watches. But for the next part of the Criterion Challenge, I have a gift for you.
Oh, exciting. So I didn't even notice you had something over there.
As Criterion is upgrading to 4K, I'm upgrading selectively. I'm not upgrading everything, but some of my favorites I am. So this is Polish director Krzysztof Kieślowski's Three Colors trilogy.
You've mentioned this before, yes.
Now, if you don't like it, you can give it back, and I'll do something else with it. But if you do like it, you can keep it.
Thank you.
It stars the brilliant Juliette Binoche in two of the movies, even though she plays different characters in them. So Blue, White, and Red, the colors of the French flag, you know, and the American flag. But this, so Liberty, Fraternity,
and something else. Libertine.
Something. But every film takes a different theme from the French motto.
Okay.
And ties out with that. So blue is blue and red are both 5 stars. White is good, but not quite as good. But all these are excellent movies.
Okay.
And I just started rewatching them myself.
Thank you. I'll check them out.
Kieślowski is a major director.
All right. I'm going to hit the music, but I do have a post music review for you.
Okay.
Just something small. On a silent film, as I looked over my recently viewed movies, I want to ask you if this specific film was on your Criterion Challenge. But for now, listeners, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians, and we are signing off.
Say goodbye.
All right, Ben. You have recommended to me on occasion some silent films. And is the movie Safety Last one of them?
Yes. Buster Keaton.
Okay. Well, I watched
it. No, not Buster Keaton. No. Harold Lloyd.
I feel like we talked about this in the show recently. Did we do this?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, we didn't review the show. I mean, we didn't review the movie, I know. I, not 5 stars for me, but 4 stars. So yeah, solid.
That's fair.
Solid silent film. Yeah, just I like to mix them in every now and then. You're right. Harold Lloyd. I just checked it out here.
Yeah.
Give me a next recommendation for a silent film. I don't watch an abundance of silent films. What's my next one you think I should check out?
Well, you've done some Charlie Chaplin. Now you've done Harold Lloyd. You should now watch Buster Keaton. So I would say The General.
General. All right, listeners. That's, we'll just probably throw that in there somewhere eventually. But next up, yeah, I don't even know what's next in the Criterion Challenge. I've been trying to watch through a bunch of colors. Yeah, here there's 3 colors in my hand. But I'm also trying to watch through tons of things on HBO Max.
Didn't
before
that
I
expire?
Nope, it expires at the end of September.
High and Low.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you would like that.
Okay. So High and Low is coming up. Anyways, just watch for some different things. If you go a few episodes back where we did this HBO Max watch list episode, I'm watching a bunch of things from that episode.
All right.
All right, listeners, thanks so much. And so long, folks.
Goodbye. Read Macbeth.